Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Keller off of Main Street. If you want to come have lunch with us, or maybe you just want to show up and get the opportunity to win some Cowboys swag or those Cowboys tickets, all viable options by coming out to Buffalo Wild Wings. Right now, it's time for Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because 877-881-1053. If you want to jump in the conversation from the 817, Cowboys win because CeeDee Lamb scores two touchdowns. Cowboys lose because Najee Harris scores three touchdowns. You will definitely lose if that is what happens.
Hold on. But what if Zeke scores two touchdowns in addition to the CD's two touchdowns? That's 4-3.
That is true. Don't you feel like if Najee Harris scores three touchdowns that
Justin Fields is throwing the ball over the field?
There's probably other touchdowns. So yeah.
So one of the things that I heard McCarthy saying was that they don't have as many designed runs in the Steelers' offense as they did in Chicago's offense.
Okay.
And I wonder if that is by design to keep him in the pocket, to force him to, look, you're not just going to rely on your legs. You have to be a throwing quarterback at some point. And I wonder where that balance is going to be with the running game between Justin Fields and him.
Now, I'm going to go with my Cowboys win because – and it revolves around Justin Fields as well. Dallas directly turns a Justin Fields mistake into points. So he's had a really good season, but he's been sacked, Justin Fields that is, at least twice in every game. He got sacked four times against Indy. Also, he has an interception and four fumbles this season. Now, he didn't lose all those fumbles, but the point is, it feels like the ball is going to be on the ground or the ball is going to be up for grabs at some point. The Cowboys have to directly turn a Justin Fields mistake into points, because otherwise, with Brandon Cooks out, with your offense struggling as is,
I don't think you're getting any other points special teams wise either than Aubrey.
I don't want to assume that. If you do, that would probably change my dynamic.
Don't you wish you had a special teams that you could be like, I'm probably getting seven out of them every week.
That would be the best special teams we've ever seen. I would love it. But short of that, I'm going to say you have to take advantage of one of those mistakes and put points on the board.
Well, the last time the Cowboys played the Bears when Justin Fields was out there, that was the home game against the it was at home, and Fields fumbles. Micah picks it up, takes it all the way to the house for a touchdown. So that was a good moment for that, but no Micah this week. So I'm trying to figure out how they turn that around. Diggs is your best playmaker in that regard. Who do you think would be the one capable of that? Is it going to be, you think Nealon pushes a tackle into Justin Fields and fumble happens?
You know who I'm going to say, right?
Hell ensues.
Overshown. Overshown on the delayed blitz gets the quarterback. Bam. Go.
I kind of set you up for that because I knew who you were going to say, Kevin.
I figured that you did.
But I do wonder also if they're going to have him blitz a little more this week. I know Kendricks has been really good at it, but Overshown, we've discussed this at length. He's got the burst. He's got the speed. He can be in the quarterback's face before any of these other guys right now. So
if you think the Cowboys are going to blitz,
do they do it early in the game, or does Zimmer go, we can't get to the quarterback, I just have to send six and then take huge risks?
I'd try to do it early. I'd just try to make sure I have as many disguises, because Justin Fields isn't going to sit up there and just read you to death. That's not his thing. I'd try to have so many things disguised to set up blitzes like that, that you get him on a corner blitz when he's got his back turned because he's got a long third down, and I'm dialing it up. But as Bobby was saying this morning, he's a first down blitz kind of guy.
Man, I'm sorry I got distracted. This is a really intense shout-out.
Is that from Rusty?
Yeah, did you read that?
I was reading through it, but I stopped.
That is unfortunate. If you want to reach out or take a look, I guess Eric shared Rusty Stubblefield's GoFundMe page. Their house burned down on Tuesday morning, and the family lost everything in terms of material possessions and everything like that. So that is terribly, terribly sad, which it always reminds me of, and I know this is like not a joking matter, and we'll take a look at that. We'll see if we can share that GoFundMe. But when I was taking my marriage class with Jess, the person asked, if your house was burning down, what would you save besides the living creatures? And so we talked about it. And then this one lady came along towards the end, and she goes, I am surprised at everyone else. I would save my children. And I was like, yeah, no freaking
kidding. That is a living creature, yeah.
We would all save our kids or pets or whatever, but that wasn't really the assignment.
She assumed creatures are only animals.
Yeah, makes
I guess. And she just thinks everyone in there like is a monster that doesn't care about anything else.
Yeah, do you have a plan? Do you have an escape route? Have you already, like, y'all talked about that?
We only have a first one-story house, so I always think worst comes to worst, jump out the window.
Okay, that's, yeah. My kids are going to have to go through the windows. They don't understand how to do the locks, so they're going to have to go through it.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to just find me and get on my back. I'll carry them all out.
Mike, do you have a plan if your house were to burn
down? Yeah, y'all have an old house.
Cry.
It could burn down at any point.
Did you say cry?
If we had to jump out of the second story, that's the scary part. I mean, there are windows to open, and then you have to probably break your leg or hurt yourself pretty bad.
Yeah, but you also have that.
And you live,
yeah,
but you're
exactly.
going to deal with some sort of bad physical pain.
You could have that moment, though, Kevin, where you're on the roof and you know the house is about to blow. And then you jump, and your neighbor's got their camera out, and they see it.
Is this an action movie?
And you're diving towards them and everything, and they're like, hero right there. You know what I'm saying?
I will not have the wherewithal to think of any of those
things. We will go ahead and look
things.
At Rusty's information, try and share that on the socials.
I have a Cowboys win because.
Okay, tell me.
Even though I'm not confident about them winning this game. Cowboys win because the Steelers have played one of the easiest schedules in the NFL.
That's true.
So they beat at the Falcons, which maybe the Falcons are better than their first week of the season.
They are a lot better,
At Broncos, you're playing the worst starting quarterback in the NFL right now. That can improve, but Bo Nix is really bad. And then they played the Chargers at home and won 20-10. The Chargers are an average team, we think, maybe even a hair below average. And then they lost at the Colts. Now, I guess that's the confidence you have, is that the Steelers actually aren't very good, because if teams are good, the Cowboys don't compete. Now, Dak is great at throwing for 200 yards and two touchdowns in the fourth quarter when he's down by 20-plus points. He is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL at racking up fourth quarter stats and then getting the game close. And, yes, there's like, if we can get one more stop, if we can get the ball back with enough time, maybe Dak can keep it going. But I just look at it and go, man, Steelers haven't played anybody really that makes you think they are good, but they have taken advantage of their schedule.
That actually feeds into my Cowboys lose because, and somebody texted this in at the very beginning of the show. Cowboys lose because the offense sputters again in the second half. Dallas has scored offensive touchdowns one time in the second half in four games this season. And that was the three-touchdown blitzkrieg against Baltimore when it looked like that game was over. Now, I realize the Cowboys got it back into position where it looked like it was not over anymore. But compare that with the Steelers. Thus far this year and going back to last year, they've given up only 75 points in the fourth quarter. That's 3.6 points per fourth quarter. So you're running up against a defense that is usually particularly stingy in the fourth quarter, and you're going in there as a Cowboys offense that they have not looked good in the second half at all.
Yeah, and you're just assuming that they look good to start the game, too, in that
you
respect.
You bet they better.
And I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't seen enough. Oh, we talked about their first 15. It's felt like their first 15 is there's been, you know, a few plays and out, and not getting the touchdowns that you necessarily want to start the game. My Cowboys win, Kevin, is that the weather all happens earlier in the day, and there's okay. no rain. Even though Dak has been working with the wet balls all week, they did two practices with wet footballs this week, but they did three practices last week with wet balls just in case. So I think the weather holds out, and Dak Prescott has a little more oomph to work with. I've been watching some of the throws from him, and I've been like, man, that looked like it really took a lot of effort for him to get that one just 20 yards, and I'm not used to seeing that. So I'm feeling like he needs one of those games where he looks like he's back in form and really pushes the ball downfield, and this might be the one. It's just, can Tyler Guyton, that's why, Kevin, Cowboys lose, because Tyler Guyton cannot help you keep a drive going because of a penalty, a false start, a hold. That's why the Cowboys lose, because this game, every single game can rely on one play. And that one play could have been the one where Tyler Guyton held, and it was a touchdown that got called back.
Now, can I throw out a player for the Steelers that I wonder if the Steelers would be like, can Joey Porter Jr.? So this is somebody, obviously, we talked a lot about in the draft, but he had a terrible game last week. And, you know, when we talk with some of the Steelers beat reporters throughout the week, they're like, we think he's going to want to follow CeeDee Lamb. This looks like an opportunity to hopefully take advantage. But if Joey Porter is playing well, it could be a long day for this Cowboys offense.
Yeah, and it becomes even more tough if Cam Hayward's beating Cooper Beebe.
That's for sure.
I kind of messed up when I was on the Cowboys Hour with Nate on Wednesday, and they said, who's my X factor in this game? And I said Pickens, because I think if he can give Justin Fields a good target downfield, they like to go sideline kind of stuff. They do stuff outside the hash marks. That's what they like to do with them, and short stuff with Fields. But if he does one of those things, you saw it last year with DJ Moore. If he's getting downfield and beating our corners downfield, Pickens can be the guy. But Cam Hayward really is the guy for me because of what he can do in the middle of that offensive line. That trio of Zach Martin, Cooper Beebe, and Tyler Smith is going to have a load on their hands with Cam Hayward.
From the 817, Cowboys win because Aubrey is a beast with these field goals. Cowboys lose because the defense doesn't show up again. Mike, I don't know where you're going on Cowboys lose because, but I feel like a lot of people are probably thinking in that direction.
Yeah, I think I hate saying it. There's a lot of reasons the Cowboys could lose this game.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Fair.
But one is, I just think the defense is going to be pathetic. I mean, that's...
Look, I get it. I do.
I saw this team without Micah Parsons yep. in 2020. It's the worst defense I've seen probably in Cowboys history since 1-15 or 3-13 in 88 and 89. And I think you're going to roll out one of the worst defenses in the NFL in 2024 on Sunday. There's just no way.
Yeah.
You look at how pathetic these names are, and nothing – like, you put Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence on the field, and it changes all of those guys. But this is – they're
Nealon
not,
and Golston are not –
this is horrible.
Yeah. It was interesting listening to Jerry. And again, we talk about this all the time. What's Jerry going to go? What's he going to say? Is he going to be like the manager, like Lou Brown in Major League, and be like, everyone thinks we'd be better if we just went out there and shot ourselves?
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
That's what he said in the movie.
Well,
he's not going to say anything like that. But when he talks about, like, injuries give you a great opportunity for this and that, I'm like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
If you have those players that are ready to go and take over, I hope we talked to Steven on Monday, and he goes, I was listening to your show on Friday. In your face, you see all this depth that we have?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, great.
Yeah, you know, and you heard Jerry admit it. They're in a soft rebuild. Asked him that, I was like, he's going to say no to this. But he was like, no, you're dead on. We have to try and stay competitive. We have to do these things, and then we have to utilize our youth. Kevin, do you have that feeling that this is just that down year where you've got your quarterback, your receiver, you're keeping some pieces, but you're not adding anything big? That free agent might come 2 years from now after they've already gotten Micah re-signed or whatnot. That free agent might come down the road, but this year might not be that year because they are in that place where they're just like, we have to kind of start over, and our five-year plan is down the road now.
This is what I'm concerned about if that's the case. And this is not about specifically Micah Parsons. That the decision will be, well, you know what we need to do is re-sign Micah Parsons. Because, like, look what happened in this offseason. Oh, we're totally revitalizing and changing the way we're doing everything. But not really, right? Because the highest paid quarterback in NFL history was $55 million per year. And we're like, let's give Dak $60 million per year.
Mm-hmm.
CeeDee Lamb became the second highest paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL. So it feels like their answer is, don't worry, we're keeping our star players and losing more players from the team that wasn't good enough to begin with, because that's how you're going to win in the NFL.
Yeah, I can totally see their mindset being that way. But when Mike said the thing that he said just a second ago, he loved the Charlie Huff game plan. Like, you
sure.
loved it. But if you weren't a pitcher that could execute, it didn't matter how good the plan was if you couldn't get that accomplished. That's the fear. Maybe Mike Zimmer did get things right last week, and maybe he does have all the right things dialed up. The talent just isn't there on Sunday. But that's why we play him, though, right?
From the – man, look at you. You did take something from Jerry this morning. From the 817, Cowboys win because they wore my same lucky shirt from weeks 1 and 4 to work today. I like
there
that.
There we go.
And
I'm all about lucky shirts.
From the 972, Cowboys lose because the defense looks like the traffic cones on 635. Do they mean the traffic cones, or do they mean the kind of like HOV – plastic barriers that you were talking about?
They got rid of those on 75, yeah.
But for a while, well, they had to get rid of them because everyone's like, I'm driving over them.
Yeah, after you see one car do it, you're like, oh, they don't hurt your car.
Yeah, yeah.
When you see it bounce right back up, you're like, okay, looks like I'm
going
to follow
that. Or if you see it shatter and fall over, you're like, yeah, I can do that too. Everything's going to be fine.
I do have a thought. I'm disappointed I haven't brought this up sooner. Do you think the Cowboys are struggling thus far this season because we haven't gotten the out swag guy to be texting in every week for this segment?
Dude, that is a good point. Where is Outswag?
Where's Swag you at?
I don't know. From the 214, Cowboys.
He's on ESPN.
Cowboys win because CeeDee has a breakout game with more than 200 yards. Cowboys lose because they just ran out of time. Yes, that is.
That's replace Swag you guys.
That is the only time they really lose is because they just ran out of time.
Corey wasn't here yesterday, but I said, I think a very successful four-game stretch here is 2-2. And I have
it's tough to argue.
I have trouble looking at the next three games and going, you're going to win two out of three of those. So I do think, in a way, to get to 2-2 in these next four games, this one you're going to need to sneak a win in Pittsburgh and then figure out, can we beat Detroit, San Francisco, or Atlanta?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Keller. Got a great crowd out here. We still got room for more, and we have all these pieces of carrot cake up here.
And things to give away still, too.
Yeah, so we've got Cowboys things to give away. We've got carrot cake to apparently give away. And then Miller Lite's going to give away two pairs of Dallas Cowboys tickets later today, but you got to be here to sign up while the show is going on. Coming up next, the combo platter movie endings. Give us a sports opinion, and then what is a movie with a terrible ending that ruined the film for you? 877-881-1053 or the Twitch or the YouTube. We'll do it all next right here on The Fan.
Trying to force overtime. Snapper is McCullough. Holder is Pinion. 52-yarder. Young Wei Koo looking to tie the game. Snap, placement, kick on the way. The kick from Koo is good. Overtime in Atlanta.
That would force overtime. And of course, the Falcons went on to win 36-30 Thursday Night Football last night. But right now, it's time for the combo platter. Our topic today, movie endings. So give us a sports opinion. And then what is a movie with a terrible ending that ruined the film for you? That's not to say that you don't enjoy the rest of the film. Maybe you really like the rest of the film, but the ending screwed it up, and now you don't like it anymore.
That's a good one right there, Kevin.
Does that mean you would like to start?
I would like to start. And you know what? I don't have to give this one a lot of thought this time, Kevin, because I've already thought this one out. Thanks to Alec Medford, who texted me this morning and said, hey, what do you want to use for the movie? And I was like, gotcha, big dog. Sports opinion, though.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers washed.
Oh,
I've been an avid Aaron Rodgers supporter for quite some time. However, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is done. And I don't even think the Davante Adams trade to the Jets could save him. I think that would be one of those moments where Davante Adams would look at him and go, hold on. I thought it was bad with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell.
Right.
What happened, Aaron? And then Aaron Rodgers would be looking at Davante Adams going, you're a little slower than I remember you being. And then those two can't get on the same page. The Jets fall apart, and everybody goes, not even Aaron Rodgers could save the Jets from being the Jets.
Okay.
So that's where I am right now in my belief on the Jets.
All right.
My movie.
Cut 13?
It's this one.
Swing away, Merrill.
Oh,
swing away.
That's Signs, Mike.
Yes.
Never seen it.
And you've never seen
the
Signs?
The rest of the movie's pretty good.
The rest of the movie's very good. The ending is terrible.
When did this movie happen? What decade?
In
02.
02. Okay, good. Thank you, Kevin, for knowing years. It was one of those movies where whenever it came out, it's a M. Night Shyamalan movie, which means the trailer is going to be the best trailer you have ever seen in your
sounds
life.
Sounds like such a fake name.
It's not a fake name. He's a real person.
Shyamalan.
It's going to be a great trailer.
What's
and then the
name?
Movie will let you down at some point. And there was a lot of tense buildup.
Yes.
I know M. Night Shyamalan talks about he loves long shots that take a long time because it builds intensity. But then the ending was, hey, look, we got a really small glimpse of the alien, and all it takes is water. That little girl was drinking water this whole time, and to get rid of the aliens, all you have to do is be a former minor league baseball player and hit a bunch of glass that has water in it, and you can do it. You can save the world by doing that and having an inhaler.
Because
Kevin Costner was in this movie?
No, it was Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's dead wife prophesized it to him when she was pinned against a tree by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the
That's
aliens.
Why he said swing away, Merrill, because he was a former hitter, and he had a bat in his hands, and he had all these glasses of water sitting around. He said, just do it.
Why would the aliens who are devastated by water come to the planet That is full of water. Predominantly water.
Yeah, there's not another planet that looks like this.
I don't know about all the planets.
Well,
I can't speak to that.
Not, you know what? Good point. Me either. I know one planet's full of diamonds.
Yes.
And we can't harvest them.
Yeah, that is super
our
weird.
Our ships wouldn't make it. I think it's Jupiter.
Did you know that, Mike?
No, Jupiter's there's, full of diamonds?
Or is it Saturn?
There's some planet that's like made up of diamonds.
It rains diamonds up there, yeah. But we can't get to them because no. all of our spacecraft.
We can't even get to Mars yet with a person. So.
We got a long way to go. We're like the Cowboys offensive line.
Oh, my gosh.
A lot of work to do.
Wow.
There at NASA.
Okay, I'm going to say.
Do we still is NASA still a thing?
Yes, yeah, NASA's still a thing.
I thought it got replaced by Space Force.
No. Okay, look, there's a lot to unpack there, okay? My sports opinion, Cowboys win 26-19 when both teams kick 4 field goals, all right? But we're still going to keep this game going and win. Cut number 12. I know this isn't the ending, but this is probably the most memorable, like, audio from the movie. I hate the ending of this movie.
I'm sorry.
Toy Story.
It's not Toy Story.
Philadelphia?
It's not Philadelphia.
It's Santa Claus.
What? He's not even in that movie.
I'm just throwing out names.
So I guess that was Tim Allen.
That was Tom Hanks.
No, I know that. I know. So
mad at Owen Wilson or something.
I hate the movie. I hate the ending to the movie Castaway. Hate it.
Hold on. Do you hate that scene?
No.
Because that scene is a very tragic moment.
That is the saddest I ever would have thought I would have been about an inanimate object disappearing. So Tom Hanks, he tries to kill himself on the island after the plane crash. It doesn't work. So he keeps fighting for like 4 years because he's in love with Helen Hunt. And I think they're engaged, or at least they're about to become engaged. And he's like, I just got to make my way back to Helen Hunt. Oh, my gosh.
I get it.
And so, okay, that's fine.
And she goes through a tornado.
Yeah. That was a different movie. And he makes it all the way back.
She's with Jack Nicholson.
And no, don't support that. And he makes it all the way back. And she's like, oh, man, that sucks. I'm married.
Yeah.
Which I do kind of get because it's been 4 years.
She had to move on.
But then she, like, chases him down in the rain and hops in his car. And, like, what if we make out for just a minute? Who is that for?
It was for her.
Okay, for her.
That was the closure she needed.
Yeah, so she's like, I'm going to make out with my ex-fiance that I thought was dead but is not really, even though I am married. But then, fine, get back with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Then she sends him off in the rain all horned up, you know?
That's true. And so he finds the FedEx package with, like, the rainbow wings on him. He's like, I'm going to go deliver it to that lady. Am I supposed to believe they're going to fall in love?
I think they do.
Pass. Oh. I am not interested in that.
Really wanted them to open up that package when he delivered it, and it was some sort of satellite phone.
He could have had it the whole time.
That would have been the
battery packs in it.
Yeah, everything. Like, it would have been immediate saving.
Man.
But his stupid self wouldn't open it.
It's one package.
I really want Tom Hanks to do like a deleted scene where he was like, well, this is one way we thought about going. And they're like, oh, well, I guess the movie's over. So that's my sports opinion.
Wasn't that based on a true story, though? Or
was it?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know what? I was watching the movie Rosemary's Baby, and somebody goes, is this movie based on a true story? I was like, shoot, I hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah, or else we're all in a lot of trouble. Mike?
My turn. Sports opinion. I think the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to give back Jordan Montgomery to the Texas Rangers.
I
think they're going to put him on a silver platter and say, the owner came out. There's no way Jordan Montgomery is going back to the Diamondbacks. So now you have to find a team, which I know the Rangers wanted Jordan Montgomery back. It was just financially they couldn't do it. So now at, I believe, $20 million next year, he might have reached the bonus of the extra $5 million because he had enough starts. But I think they hand him back to the Rangers on a silver platter and say, do you want him? And I think if you're the Rangers at, let's just say, $5 million, like, we'll eat 20.
Yeah,
you can have him for five. Why wouldn't the Rangers say yes and go, we can use him in so many different ways. Could he be a starter for us? Yes. Do we have a whole bunch of starters that are injury prone and we have no clue what they're going to give us in 25? We think they're going to be good, but maybe Tyler Matley never pitches again. I hope he does. Maybe he never does.
Is Jordan Montgomery any good, though, still?
So,
and
obviously,
I know Kevin,
based off
this
of last year, no.
You said the other day, you said you know what he's good here. You know he was good with us.
He was.
But I just don't know if he fell off completely
after
that.
That's fair. That is a fair point. I'm willing, to Mike's point, to make the $5 to $8 million investment to find out the answer to that question. You might be right. It might be, well, the answer is, whoops.
He had a 2.79 ERA with the Rangers. Last year in 2023, for the whole year, he had a 3.2. In the year before, he had a 3.11. The year before, he had a 3.69. The year before, he had a 3.83.
So I'll believe this was the outlier year.
If you go back to 2020, the short year, his 10 starts with the Yankees in the COVID year, he had a 5.11 ERA. So if I go back to COVID year, he did have a bad year. If you look at ERA at 5, which I do, and say that's not a good year. You look at this year, he had a 6.23. That's horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think if they're just giving away a pitcher and you're about to lose, most likely you're losing Leclerc. You're losing Robertson.
Yep.
You're hoping to keep Yates, but that's a 50-50. You're hoping to keep Eovaldi. That's a 50-50. You're probably going to have to let Andrew Heaney go because he's going to get $12 to $15 million per year on a multi-year contract. So I start looking at it and go, gosh, if I can get back a veteran guy who is very successful for us and can be a starter slash reliever for $5 to $8 million, I think the Rangers are going to accept the silver platter that the Diamondbacks lay out Jordan Montgomery on.
I like that.
And I'm really intrigued because there's just a cut of audio here. Number 14, Mike, is this your disappointing ending?
Yeah. And there's more to life than losing a football game. Okay.
That is absolutely correct. And the final score in this wild card game is Green Bay 48 and Dallas 32.
You're the worst, dude.
So
you're the worst. Mike.
So every year there's this movie called The Dallas Cowboys. And it usually starts off pretty solid. Sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time. And then you get to the end and it's just horrible. The ending just is horrible.
Jeez.
Now I can see why Alec labeled this Mike's disappointing ending.
Well, I told him, I said, that what's that Amazon show they were on where, you know, all the cameras were hidden and the players didn't know some of the cameras were in certain rooms at, what is it, Amazon?
All or Nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes.
Oh, dear. That was, in fact,
so that was like the show, but I was like, you can just give me any Dallas Cowboy season since Jimmy Johnson left, and I'll be satisfied.
From the 214.
I can't believe Alec did it.
I know. I can't believe I actually read the right audio this time. Broncos win with Bo Nix in your face, Mike. I think all of us are on the same page that Bo Nix has been pretty terrible so far. And bad ending, the Matrix movies.
Matrix, yeah.
Are you talking about like the fourth one?
Yeah.
Not just the original one?
Yeah, the Revolutions one had a pretty terrible ending. And for that matter, Kevin, I think a lot of M. Night Shyamalan movies do have poor endings. The Village is a movie that is pretty good the entire time until the end, and they're like, hey, they're not real, they are real.
I might be in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a Village People. I might be in the minority. I like the ending to the Village.
Oh, you did?
Like, I know. Most people are like, that's dumb, but, you know, fair. From the 214, the Cowboys are going to be third place in the NFC East, and Forrest Gump, sad, terrible ending for Forrest.
Oh, what happened?
He gets the kid.
He got the kid.
And that chick who was awful to him died of AIDS.
Yeah, he might have that, by the way.
He probably does.
We don't know the answer. They just kind of left that up to you.
Yeah,
you know?
But his kid is a genius and goes on to see Bruce Willis is dead all along.
That was a great
part
of it.
That's just for you, Mike.
Yeah.
That Haley Joel Osment right there.
Yeah, and then he has a movie studio and screws over.
That is in the entourage. I don't know how many people.
Bruce Willis was an entourage?
No, it was. Never mind.
Haley Joel Osment.
I don't even know who that is. Not, is she part of the Osment family?
It's a boy, first of all.
Oh, but remember he had AIDS.
Haley sounds like a girl's name to me.
Yeah.
When you hear the word Hey, when you hear, oh, that's Haley, what does your brain go to?
My sister, her name's Kaylee, so that's the first thing I think of.
I mean, I am apt to think it's a girl, but Haley Joel Osment, when The Sixth Sense came out, was like the biggest thing in the world.
It was a pretty big movie.
Was she the wife?
It was still a boy!
It was the boy. He sees dead people. Remember that line?
Oh, yeah.
That was him.
Yeah, that was at the end.
He also had AIDS in the Walker, Texas Ranger. So,
Man. Yeah,
we should have known it then.
I'm going to tell you something.
I just like that Nate Bargatze did a whole stand-up on it. It was full. It fooled so many people because us as men we just assume our wife hates us so much all of the time.
That's so sad.
That's why they don't talk to us the whole time we're around the house.
Not because you're dead.
They like, let us know, like, he is dead. To start the movie off, he's dead. But yet we all go through the movie going, maybe he's alive and his wife's just pissed, ticked off at him.
If you accomplished nothing else today, go to YouTube, type in Haley Joel Osment, Walker, Texas Ranger.
He got shot. Why was she mad at him?
And just let it unfold and enjoy what you see. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, and I'm sorry. I don't know, but you need to see it. From the 682, man, Cowboys will lose this weekend in uncut gems for the movie. I love the ending of that movie.
That was a stressful movie.
That is a very stressful movie. I understand why people don't like the ending.
Sandler won the bet, but then he got blown away.
He did. And everything was going to be okay, but then he got shot in the eye.
All because of Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
I'm reviewing the movie perfectly.
Yeah, kind of.
I remember watching it. Garnett stealing gems or whatever and won't return them because they're good luck.
From the 580, put Danny White in the Ring of Honor.
Oh.
And A Star Is Born. So I only saw the Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper version. I don't know if all of them end.
There's another one?
Yeah, there's like three of those
movies. Was
it
Dolly Parton? I don't even know.
Barbara Streisand was in one of them. I don't know if they all end the same way or not, but I was not expecting that.
Bradley Cooper's in all of them, though.
Okay. He is not.
Well, because he was a kid in one of them.
No, actually, I guess.
That movie did have a pretty, like, awful ending.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Never seen it.
They're trying to make it real. They're trying to make it a real type.
I know. People sang too much. I was like, oh, too much singing.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on. I thought it was an awesome movie. I really did. But you're right. That one was a very tough ending.
All
right,
Alec, do you have a sports opinion and then movie with a terrible ending that ruined it for you?
Sports opinion is going to be baseball playoffs related. I really like this divisional series field. I can't lie, because a lot of people talk about the Cinderella stories and they don't really mean it when they say that they like it, because it happens and then they don't end up watching it. Or like parody, they're like, yeah, I want to see like the Blue Bloods in college football finally go away. But anytime it's not an Alabama-based college football championship, they're not watching it. I'm one of those sickos that's like, yes, give me the underdog team all the way to the finish. Like, I really like in the American League the matchup between the Tigers and the Guardians, because Stephen Vogt has done a fantastic job with the Guardians as their manager. In his first year, the Tigers, I didn't think were going to be a playoff team. You got Bobby Witt Jr. in the playoffs advancing to the second round. I thought the Mets were going to be trash this year, and here they are in the second round. The Phillies could have mailed it in after some key injuries, but they're still pretty good and really fun to watch. And then, of course, you still do have the Yankees and the Dodgers, so some of those marquee names that'll boost the ratings and make some of these networks happy. But I'm happy that we're getting a bunch of faces that we haven't seen before in the playoffs, and I'm actually going to watch these games and I'm going to enjoy it.
I like it.
And a movie that I do not like the ending of, I don't know, I'm still like 50-50 if I like the movie at all, but an ending that I thought was stupid back in 2013, because this is back when I was like real comic book nerd still, and I wanted everything to be like fully canon and accurate to what had happened in the writings. Man of Steel. I think the ending is so stupid because Superman is supposed to be this like paragon of virtue and the good guy that's, I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm just going to teach him a lesson. He violently kills Zod at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I do remember that.
I'm like, what the heck? And he destroys Metropolis in the process. I'm like, what are we doing here? This doesn't make any sense. And then that era of DC movies just sucked in general. So
he falls off a horse and gets paralyzed.
That was the first Superman, Christopher Reeve. I cannot believe Superman
can get paralyzed.
Then he was with that girl and that was in the surfing movie, mm-hmm. the big wave movie.
Oh, yeah. Where the shark gets her?
Yeah.
It was a different
Superman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. From the 806, sports opinion, Cowboys and Eagles get into a bidding war for Belichick this offseason, and Rudy has the worst ending. He was offsides. Also, most of that movie is complete BS and didn't happen, and then Rudy became a criminal who stole a whole bunch of people's money.
So
that is true.
That really? probably wouldn't be in the. Yeah,
you didn't know that.
I didn't know he stole people's money.
Yes.
Yeah, we were in Houston, right?
We were the people.
We were in Houston at the Super Bowl, and he hopped on with one of our shows, and that's the first time I'd heard that. Kevin told me that story, and I was like, "What?" And then he was like, "He'd just gotten out of prison or something."
Yeah, I asked if they were going to ask about that, and they said no. I was like, "Okay,
I don't want to talk to him."
I thought it was a relevant question, but fair enough. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Keller, and right now, off of Main Street, it's time for Mike Likes It.
Well, Alec took a little bit of Mike Likes It here, but let's discuss. Obviously, starting tomorrow, you have all the divisional games happening. So when you guys come back on Monday, you'll have the National League had played their first two games in the American League. They have the day off on Sunday, and then they'll play Monday. So they're playing Saturday, Monday. You have the National League playing Saturday and Sunday. And I'll tell you what I am going to really miss. I don't know if it's going to go a long series, but I think it's the most exciting by far is San Diego and L.A. Dylan Cease is going tomorrow against Yamamoto. Yamamoto's barely pitched this year. I get when he has pitched, he's been good. Not great, but good. I hate saying this. I think my buddy Dave Roberts is going to get fired after this playoffs. I don't know what it is, but they cannot be healthy come playoff time. Their rotation just cannot. They have so many injured guys that they get to the playoffs, and you're like, it's the Dodgers. They won 98 games this year. They won 105 games, and then they lose in the first round. And you look at it, and you go, the only thing that saved Dave Roberts, and I'm not saying it's all his fault, it's the injured pitcher's fault, slash, at times, Clayton Kershaw, their best, didn't pitch very well at times, is COVID. They only had to play 60 games.
They were healthy, yeah.
You know what? In a way, it saved Corey Seager. Corey Seager only had 60 games that year. And his body at his size struggles at shortstop to have a 162-game season and playoffs. We got lucky with Seager was playing through injury the whole playoffs and obviously was great, World Series MVP. But he was even hurt. He wasn't hurt in 2020 because of the 60-game season. They didn't have the best rotation in 2020, but their guys that they counted on were pretty healthy because of only a 60-game season. And so I look at this Padres-Dodgers, and I look at the way the Padres are hitting. I look at their defense. I look at Dylan Cease, and I just look at them, and I go, I just think the Padres are better. Like, I'm not a better – obviously, I can't bet on baseball. But tomorrow, the Dodgers are minus 135. San Diego's plus 115. So they see it as a very close matchup. I just think that betting on the Padres to win this series, and I'm sure they're a little bit of an underdog in Vegas, to me is a very good bet. I will be surprised. And this sounds weird. I will be surprised if the Dodgers get out of this series.
Are the Padres like what Jerry is saying that he wants the Cowboys to be? Maybe they didn't start so well, but they finished very good.
Or the Tigers.
And they made a couple of really good moves to put them in that position at that point, too. Like, they do seem like they're the hottest one right now.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting. I think for baseball, it would be better if the Dodgers won this series because you do get Shohei Ohtani. I'm not even going to include Mookie Betts as a future Hall of Famer. Freddie Freeman's a future Hall of Famer. Yamamoto is obviously followed tremendously in Japan. I just think that for baseball, it would be best for the Dodgers because of what Alex said. Hey, sometimes we like going, oh, I don't like Philadelphia. I don't like L.A. Well, if you get a Mets-Padres NLCS, nobody's going to watch it. It's going to be horrible ratings. You guys are going to come in and talk about how bad the ratings are. Not like against, I'm not against you guys. It's just I won't be here, and you guys will be like, look what the ratings are. And if it's Detroit and Kansas City, I don't know if a human being's going to watch.
Mm.
Now, I know Alex just said he will, so he'll be the one rating. That's the scary part of baseball is the Rangers and Diamondbacks was one of the worst watch World Series in a long time because
that's
of
why they wouldn't let them back,
the lack of name power. It didn't matter to us. We all watched. We all loved it. But for baseball, that was bad for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the Dodgers, Padres. I think that will get really good ratings.
How do you think Mets Phillies is going to do? Because this is the first time they've ever met in the playoffs.
Now, my son didn't know this. That is true. My son didn't know this. I said, playing for the Mets. It's the Braves and the Phillies. Probably Braves first because they were winning forever. And then Phillies. It's a huge rivalry. Yes, there's Mets Yankees, but that's kind of city rival type deal. It's not a real rivalry. I get they played in one World Series, but you look at the Mets, they hate each other. Those fans hate each other. Kind of like Giants Eagles, right? They're the similar fans, so they hate each other.
Yeah, that's because that was the first thing I felt was that's got to be a lot of vitriol right there.
So I see this. I know the Mets have Francisco Lindor, superstar name for the most part. Pete Alonso on the border of that because of home run derbies, right? That's kind of what people know him for is, oh, I remember him. He's in the home run derby. If you're just kind of a casual Rangers fan, the Phillies do have, I think, a little bit power to them, like name recognition, because they've been in the playoffs consistently. They do have Bryce Harper, which is the biggest name in the series. I can't believe the Mets have made it this far. Think about where the Mets were last year. They were begging teams to take on Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander, and they would eat 70 to 80% of the contracts just so they could get back a decent prospect or two from ended up being the Astros and the Rangers. And they didn't go out and sign anybody in the offseason that you thought, oh, they're going to try to go back after it. In fact, the owner was like, is Cohen his name for some reason? Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Michael Cohen?
He pretty much was like, okay, I thought I could buy a championship. But after 2022, we lost in the playoffs, and then 23 went as bad as we have to develop. I get it. As much as we want to believe we can all buy championships when we have this much money, it still takes chemistry, the right mix, the right talent. And so he said, screw it. I guess I'll do it the old school way, get rid of the old veteran pitchers that don't have much left and see what happens. And then here they are in the final four in the NL divisional round. I look at that team and I go, I don't know how they beat Milwaukee. They did it. I watched it. It was amazing. But I don't know how they're going to beat Philadelphia. But it will. That's a lot of hate. There's going to be fights in the stands.
Dude.
Because it's an easy travel for both fan bases, and they like fighting.
Choppy had said up until that home run that Pete Alonso was 5 for his last 39, and they were all singles. Like he was like the most unassuming person to do that in that moment.
So there was a video. I don't know how much I believe it. There is a video out on Twitter that said Devin Williams was tipping his pitches in the ninth inning.
Oh, that's helpful.
So if he knew fastball was coming versus changeup, that could help him out a lot. When he hit that ball, I think it was just a routine fly ball. But you could tell when he hit it, he thought he got it.
Yeah.
And I was like, opposite field line drive, and it got out in a hurry. And it was obviously they showed Citi Field. That place was packed. Yeah, obviously they're playing in Milwaukee. That place was stunned. But maybe
it must have just the feel in that sweet spot. Yeah. It must have that's why he knew it. You know it when it hits that one spot that you're like, I didn't even feel the ball hit the bat.
Maybe Alonso knew what was coming. They were showing the way he was doing his glove a little bit that he could have tipped, and that's why a guy that is almost impossible to score off of all of a sudden was getting hit in the ninth inning. Now we go to the American League real quick. Detroit, Cleveland, I'm going to be honest. I think this one's going to struggle for ratings. They're playing that game at noon tomorrow, and I think it just goes to show. They're just like, throw it up against all the college football. We have to put it on. We're putting it on. I like the series. I think Cleveland has a chance to go to the World Series. I think Detroit, if this goes right for them, if they can get to, like, a deciding game, 3 or 4, and they have Skubal on the mound, Cleveland's kind of screwed.
Yeah, yeah. No, when Skubal's on the mound, it's almost impossible to hit him. The thing about Cleveland is they kind of remind me a little bit of the Rangers last year with their gritty type of offense. It doesn't seem to be like you can get easy outs with those guys. They've had quality pitching, but it just when they're up the plate, it just seems like it's going to be a long at bat, and it's going to end with them having somebody on base.
Now, the last series is Kansas City at New York. Now, these are 5-game series. If you're not a big baseball fan, it's a 5-game series. And last one was 3. This one is the game, or this is the game, at least game 1. And I do think in Vegas, the one that they think is an easy one to pick, that the Yankees are going to win the series.
Okay.
Tomorrow, New York is -205 versus Kansas City +170. It's Garrett Cole on the mound. Obviously, they can't put Cole Reagans back out there. That's the thing about playing in the wild card round is your ace has to pitch game 2 or game 3 of the series and then most likely cannot come back and pitching a game five.
Is Waka going to start for them?
It's Waka right now starting for them, but they see that as a major disadvantage to the Royals. It'll be interesting. Anything when people ask or people ask about next year with the Rangers, who would have ever thought the Mets, the Royals, and the Tigers would be in this round of the playoffs?
Yeah.
So it's as crazy as much as we always want to say it, and there's all the numbers to back it up. Baseball is as random or even more random than football. We think about football with salary cap and everything being the most random. It's not the case. Baseball is as random or even at times more random than football.
For the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan, it is a shout-out Friday from the 817. Shout-out to J-Rod. He's 90 days clean from heroin. I am so proud of him. Man, that is intense, but good job these last 3 months. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Yeah, we'll talk with our friend Kyle Yeomans next on the Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.